Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send the show messages on Twitter at GoForItGant. Make sure you do that and make sure you give me a follow at GoForItGant. I follow back. Expected today to be joined by Frank Rice, former NFL star. Now Frank is a contestant on Donald Trump's The Ultimate Merger, which airs on TV1, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, each and every Thursday. So make sure you check that out. But we're going to be joined by Frank Rice. And Frank's going to tell us how it feels to be on the show. And he is vying for the love of the lovely, the beautiful Takara. And so we'll see what happens there, but we're going to be talking to Frank. And, of course, after that, we're going to be talking sports, of course, and having fun doing it, because that's what we do at this time. Special 12 o'clock show, we're usually on at 1 o'clock, but today we're going to be on at 12 o'clock, and we will be back to our usual time next Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you check it out. I want to move now. I want to start out with this whole Tim Tebow thing. Tim Tebow, big-time criticism from ESPN NFL analyst Merrill Hodge, talked about after watching film. He actually tweeted after watching film of Tim Tebow how embarrassed he was in watching it and how embarrassing he thought that the Broncos were being for thinking that they could win with Tim Tebow. He thought it was an embarrassment to believe that they could win with Tim Tebow. An embarrassment. I can't even talk. But he thinks it's an embarrassment to believe that they can win with Tim Tebow. I mean, he thought it was an utter embarrassment after watching the film. And Tim Tebow responded in the papers, told the Denver Post, I will always use the negativity as more as motivation to work even harder and become even stronger, Tebow said. I'm trying to insulate myself from what people in the media are saying, from what the people in the media are saying. But I've seen some of it, and it hurts because it's coming from people who haven't seen me practice, who haven't seen me play, haven't seen what I can do. I did an interview the other day with someone on the NFL Network who said last year I never played it down in the NFL. He was wrong. Others who say I won't make it are wrong. They don't know what I'm capable of and what's inside of me. My family and my friends have been bothered by what's going on, and I tell them to pay no attention to it. I'm relying, as always, on my faith. And those are the words of Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow, obviously a religious man, obviously a great guy, obviously a great leader. But when it comes to quarterback play, Tim Tebow is not a great quarterback. And not an NFL caliber quarterback. And I look at it this way. If Tim Tebow came to my house and said he wanted to date my daughter, I say, fine, take her, do what you have to do. You're a good guy. I know everything will be all right. But if Tim Tebow came to my house and said he wanted to be the quarterback of my favorite NFL team, I would say, Tim, you know what? You're a good guy. You're a great leader, great person. All those great things, all the great intangibles that you have, but you know what, son? You're not ready to take over my franchise. You're not ready to be the quarterback for my NFL team. Sorry, Tim. No hard feelings. Again, a great guy, great person, but you're not ready. And I don't think you ever will be ready to take over an NFL franchise. And Tim does have a lot of faith in his ability, and faith is a good thing, and believing in yourself is another good thing. These are all good things. These are all good things. Good things. Good things. Good things. And Tebow has some other interesting things, which he later said was misconstrued, but he said to the Denver Post as well, "I don't feel like anything was taken away from me, and I don't want anything given. I want to work for everything I get, that's for sure, and I've always been like that." Those are actually his comments in rebuttal to the Denver Post story, which he was quoted as saying that essentially the job was given to him, and basically it was taken away from him before, you know, it even started, or before he was able to compete. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with this whole situation. But the reality is this. Tim Tebow can sell a lot of jerseys. Tim Tebow can motivate the heck out of you with his speeches and with the way he lives his life. But, and that's a big but, Tim Tebow is not a quarterback that you can rely on to win championships. He's not that guy. He's not the guy that's going to get you even to the playoffs. He's just not that guy. He's not that guy. He's not that guy. And a lot of people believe in him and believe what he can do. A lot of people believe what he can do. A lot of people believe in what he can do. But there's a whole heck of a lot more people who don't believe in what he can do. And I said this before, I was surprised when I heard all this talk from the Broncos that Tim Tebow was going to be their guy. He was going to be their starter going into camp. And I when I heard that, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I kind of scratched the hair that I had on my head. I don't have any hair on my head, but I scratched my bald head, and I could not believe that anybody in their right mind would hand the job over to Tim Tebow without Tim Tebow even a competition, and B, just watching his skill set and watching the things that he can do. The guy is not an NFL caliber quarterback. The guy is a nice guy. The guy is he's a great guy, actually. He's a great guy. He seems like he's a great guy. A great guy. And can motivate the heck out of anybody. Can just motivate the heck out of anybody. But the reality is, you can motivate me, you can do all those great things, but if you can't win, then it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's almost like, you know, a woman has, great personality, great education, great all these things, but if I'm not attracted to you, it doesn't matter. It's almost like that in my mind. If I'm not attracted to you, it doesn't matter. It just does not matter. You could be all these great things, but if I'm not attracted to you, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. It just doesn't. Just doesn't. It does not matter. It doesn't. And, you know, again, a great guy. Swell guy. Swell guy. But he cannot win you a championship. He cannot even get you to the playoffs, in my mind. He would have a hard time getting you to the playoffs, in my mind. Just what? He just would. And again, he's selling a lot of jerseys. Selling a whole heck of a lot of jerseys. A lot of jerseys. But jerseys, selling jerseys, and winning championships are two different things. They're not the same. Selling jerseys and winning championships are two different things. They're totally different. They're totally different. And a lot of people can sell jerseys. Well, not a lot of people. But there are people out here who can sell jerseys. But there are not many people out here that can win championships as a quarterback. There are not many people out here that can get you to the playoffs, even even get you to the playoffs as a quarterback. There's not a lot of those people out here. And so Tim Tebow, again, swell guy, super guy, but just not an NFL starting quarterback. Just not. Just not. And I don't think he ever will be an NFL starting quarterback. Just won't be. Just won't be. Just not possible. And just doesn't have the talent, the skill set to be an NFL starting quarterback. Just don't see it in Tim Tebow. And I want to switch gears now to Brett Favre. Yes, he is back in the news. He is back in the news. And so there's been talk that, well, Favre just squashed all the reports, but, you know, Tony Soprano, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, in talking about Brett Favre and everything, he said he can't rule out anything. He said he could not rule out anything when it comes to any quarterback. And Chad Henne has been struggling in camp and has been receiving a lot of boos from the fans at Dolphins camp because of his play at Dolphins camp. But anyway, you look at it, Brett Favre comes back, he tells everybody, look, and these are here. This is his quotes. These are his quotes, excuse me, I haven't heard anything, and I don't have any interest. Brett Favre told a paper in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And again, he does not have any desire to return. And I think I believe him this time. I mean, last year, Brett Favre got beat up. It was not a good year for Brett Favre. Coming off that big-time year that he had with the Minnesota Vikings, where he led them to the NFC title game, this has been a different – last year was a different year for Brett Favre. He just did not seem right. And the whole Viking situation did not seem right. I mean, if you look at it, they lost, and I think this hurt them. They lost their wide receiver, Sidney Rice, the hip surgery, and I think Sidney Rice was missing from this ball club. Sidney Rice was a missing element to the Minnesota Vikings. He was missing. They missed him a whole heck of a lot. Brett Favre did not have a great year, and I called it. I sat here last year, and I said, you know what? The Minnesota Vikings are going to take a step back. They are going to take a step back. And by golly, lo and behold, they took that step back. And when you look at it sometimes, that's why when teams get to a certain point, you get to a certain point in the playoffs, you got to take advantage of it. You get to a Super Bowl, you got to take advantage of it, because the reality is, you don't know if you'll ever get another opportunity to get back there. You just don't know. It's not guaranteed. It's not promised that you'll get back there. It's just not promised that you'll get back there. It's not. There's no guarantee that you'll get back there. And so Brett Favre led his team two seasons ago, led his team, the Minnesota Vikings, to the NFC title game. And if he would have just held on to that ball, not throwing an interception, if they would not have been fumbling the ball all around and all those turnovers, the Minnesota Vikings could have went to the Super Bowl, should have went to the Super Bowl, and they may have beaten the Indianapolis Colts, and that would have been a perfect ending for Brett Favre, the perfect ending. But the reality is sometimes things just don't end perfectly, and it did not end perfectly for Brett Favre as he came back last year and got the living heck beat out of him. Just beat up. Beat up big time. Big time. Took a big time beat down in Minnesota last year. Big time beat down. I mean, the guy took a beating, and his play suffered. His play suffered big time. And ultimately, the streak ended, and ultimately, Brett Favre retired, and now he's moved on with his life, and again, he says he has no interest. And if I was any team, I'm not sure if I would have any interest in Brett Favre personally, because I thought he was done last year, going into last year, and now he definitely is done. He's done. I believe him. He says he's done. I believe it. I'm not going to argue with you here, Brett. I believe that you truly are done, and that you are moved on with your life. And thank goodness and thank God we don't have to listen and hear about this Brett Favre stuff all summer long. Thank goodness we don't have to hear about it all summer long. Goodness gracious. Thank goodness. There is a God, and so we don't have to hear about the great Brett Favre. No, thank goodness. We don't have to hear about Brett Favre, and he's gone and out of our hair, and out of our lives. The crowd loves it. The crowd loves it. They are loving that Brett Favre has moved on with his life. They are loving it. They are loving it. And quite frankly, I think everybody in sports is loving it. Something more, something better to talk about. Something more, something better to talk about. And I want to, speaking of things to talk about, I want to look at the dream team, which is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I want to caution everybody on that. And then I heard Antonio Pierce say this the other day. Antonio said that, you know, when he was with the Redskins, they used to win the off-season Super Bowl all the time. The free agency Super Bowl all the time, because they used to sign all the big name free agents. They used to sign a bunch of free agents. They used to spend a lot of money in free agency. And I remember I heard Antonio say that, and I started thinking as well. You know, one thing about the NFL, just because you sign a bunch of guys and you add a few guys together, it does not always mean that it's going to mean victories. It's going to mean a Super Bowl, because one thing about the NFL, unlike the NBA, where you know you sign 2-3 guys, you figure you like the Heat, for example, you sign LeBron, you bring in Chris Bosh, and then the whole fortunes of your franchise have changed and are officially changed when you do something like that. And so one thing about that, it's funny, basketball is different. You sign those big guys, and immediately you can become an instant contender. Football's a little different. I mean, many teams have signed big-time free agents and thinking that this guy would change the course of our franchise. And lo and behold, they don't. Lo and behold, they don't mesh with the system. They don't mesh with the style of play. They just don't mesh. It just does not mesh. And remember Jeremiah Trotter. He went to the Washington Redskins, left Philly, went to Washington. And going to Washington, he played in a different style. In Philly, it was more of a downhill type of style. But when he went to Washington, it was a little different. The system was a little more different. This is not a little more different. The system was different. The system was different for Trot. And so with a different system, he was not as effective as he was in Philadelphia. Just was not. He just was not the same type of player as he was in Philadelphia. So, you know, I understand, hey, Nnamdi Asomugha, big-time signing, big-time corner, great player. Great player. Great player. Very great player. You got Cullen Jenkins. Solid defensive tackle, big-time player, a guy that can get it done. Got Ronnie Brown, a guy that you bring in, a guy that has proven to be a versatile and a very good running back in this league. You bring in Jason Babin, came off a 12-sack season with the Tennessee Titans, and now he's under his old coach, Jim Washburn, again. So, another great situation for him, you would think. But you bring in all these different guys, Vince Young also, as the backup, just in case something happens to Michael Vick, because the reality is the type of player Michael Vick is, he's going to miss some time. I think you can almost mark down one or two games a year for Mike Vick, at least, that he's going to miss. At least. I think you can mark that down. He's going to miss one or two games. I think you can definitely mark that down, no doubt about that. Can definitely mark that down. So I look at that and I look at the whole situation and I say, you need a backup quarterback on Michael Vick. You need a backup quarterback. You need a backup quarterback. You need it, you need it, you need it. A good backup quarterback. And Vince Young, and I said this a few weeks back, even before he signed with Philly, this is a perfect situation for VY. A perfect situation for him. Right now, he's a guy now who moves into the background. Doesn't have the same type of pressure of being a starter. He moves into the background now. And moving to the background does not have the same type of pressure. The beauty of it and the bonus of it all is now he has an opportunity to be taught up, coached up by Andy Reid. Marty Morningwagen, those boys. Those guys, those coaches have proven that they can develop mold-shaped quarterbacks. They did it with Donovan McNabb. They did it with Michael Vick. And in some respect, they did it with Kevin Cobb. So these guys have proven that they, one thing, they know quarterbacks. They know quarterbacks. They know that they know what it takes to mold, to shape a quarterback. They know what to do. That's what these boys have done throughout their time. They've done that throughout their time in Philadelphia and as coaches. That's what these boys do. They mold, they shape quarterbacks. And they've done that. With Vick, they've done that. With McNabb, they've done that on some level. With Kevin Cobb, enough where he could go out and get a $22 million signing bonus from the Arizona Cardinals. And they can do it with Vince Young. And you look at Vince Young, I mean, you got a lot of things to work with. A lot of people forget about Vince Young. A lot of people forget 30-17 as a starter. A lot of people forget that. A lot of people forget that. They forget that fact. 30-17 as a starter. And you look at that situation in Tennessee. I mean, the guy got benched week one of the season. Struggling against the Steelers. A lot of quarterbacks struggle against the Steelers. But week one, he was benched. Week one, he was benched. Week one. You don't do that to a starting quarterback. Not week one. You don't do that. You just don't do that. That does not happen. And it happened to Vince Young. But this is a great opportunity for him in Philadelphia to learn under the great Andy Reid and gives him an opportunity to stay out of the spotlight and to work on his game and get his thing right. We're going to bring in now former NFL star and now one of the contestants on Donald Trump's The Ultimate Merger, which airs on TV1, Mr. Frank Rice. Frank, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How you doing today, sir?
Doing well. Doing very well. And Frank, first off, I got to know, how did you go about getting on this show?
Well, I've been out here, you know, I'm from L.A., man, and I've been out here in L.A. just, you know, kind of beating the streets, man, trying to do what I do as far as, you know, get a couple of acting gigs and shows or whatnot. And I just came across a casting call for a show, and, man, sent my pictures in, sent my little stuff in, and got a call back, and I guess you could say the rest is history.
And the rest is history. You look at it, Frank, last year, the guys were saying that they didn't know that Omarosa was going to be the girl. Did you guys know going into this that Takara was going to be the girl?
Yeah. That was one of the big points of the casting was that, you know, actually one of the big points, the reason why I wanted to go was because of who it was, Takara. So I guess last time they went in there, you know, actually really blind to where, you know, we went in knowing who it was.
And what did you know about Takara before going into the show?
Really, you know, only thing that I knew about Takara going into the show was that she was on America's Next Top Model. Other than that, I really didn't know too much about her. I mean, I knew she was a plus-size model. I knew she, you know, I knew she looked good. But other than that, you know, I didn't know. I really didn't know anything about her except for what I saw, you know, and what I assumed on TV.
And did you watch at all the first season of The Ultimate Merger?
You know, after I realized that I was going to be on the show, I went back and I started looking at some of the stuff on YouTube. But no, I can't say that I did watch the first episode.
We're talking to Frank Rice, one of the contestants on Donald J. Trump's The Ultimate Merger, which airs on TV1 Thursdays, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And Frank, I look at you, man. You know, you seem to be a decent looking guy. You got a lot of things going for you. What made you go on reality TV to find love?
Well, it was I wanted to get out. First of all, Scar looks good. You know, she's a really good looking young lady, and so really that was the big thing was getting a chance to go out there and and then for me it was just doing something different. You know, since I stopped playing ball. I just been kind of exploring, all the things that I couldn't, while I was playing ball. It took a lot of focus, playing ball, and you really can't, be doing two things at once when you're playing, NFL ball like that. So, when I stopped playing, I just wanted to start exploring new things. Man, I'm out here in Hollywood. I said I might as well,
And how close are you to the other guys? I mean, have you developed any bonds, any relationships with these other guys on the show?
Yeah, well, as of now, yeah. We do have a pretty good relationship. A lot of the guys are from California. If not from California, okay. They lived in California. And so, we've been hanging out, since the show's been over. Me and a few guys, have been hanging out. And actually, it's funny you say that because, a couple of us ended up going out last night.
All right. And you talked about your NFL career, Frankie. You kind of bounced around the NFL, played for the Packers, the Broncos, mm-hmm. and the Buccaneers. First off, for those who have never played in the NFL, how hard is it to make an NFL roster?
Man, it is extremely hard. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and, I would have to say, 90% of the guys playing in the NFL are great football players, really good football players, really great guys. And, it's one of the toughest things I ever had to do in my life. I mean, it's a job to where, you have to pretty much stay at your peak, 90% of the time, 95% of the time. And, I don't know no other job that, really demands that much out of you. Or I haven't did anything that has demanded, so much physically and mentally out of me since I've played, professional ball.
Right. And how tough was it for you to give up the NFL and give up the dreams of playing in the NFL?
It was tough. Actually, at the time, it wasn't so tough. The reason why for me at the time it wasn't so tough, man, I had been playing. I mean, just imagine playing football. I started at, fifth or sixth grade. And then, imagine, not missing a season from fifth grade all the way until, you're playing in the NFL, after college. And so, for me, it was kind of like, well, let me go ahead and take this break. Let me give my body a chance to, recuperate or whatnot. But, now it's something. Now I miss it. Now I miss it, I think, more than I did, before. I didn't really realize, I guess how lucky I was. It was kind of one of those things where, it's just what you do for so long that, you just kind of you stay in emotion.
And how would you sum up your NFL career?
Well, for me, it was a success. And the reason why I say it was a success because just being in the NFL, just, being able to put an NFL jersey on, other than myself, I don't have too many friends that ever even did it, And I know, a lot of my friends, that I'm the only person that they, personally know that has actually been in the NFL, locker room, roster. I still have friends in the NFL. And, I'm a part of the NFL Players Association of Los Angeles. I'm actually the treasurer now. So Okay. NFL has done some great things for me, and you know, for me, it's a success. Now, statistically wise, yeah, I didn't do too much statistically right. wise, but you know, there was things that went on, a couple of decisions. You know, I could have actually, I got when I was with the Broncos, yeah, I got pushed hard. I actually talked to Marty Schottenheimer. They were San Diego was trying to get me really bad. And, you know, I decided not to go there, which in hindsight, you know, might have been a good career move for me.
Right, right. I'm talking to Frank Rice, one of the stars of Donald J. Trump's The Ultimate Merger, which airs on TV1, Thursdays, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And Frank, like you said you are a treasurer for that National Football Players Association. Talk about the end of this lockout and how excited you are to finally get all that stuff done.
Yes. I mean, it was, they dragged this thing on for so long, man, I can't believe it. And, you know, we ended up losing that one game because of that stuff, man. But, I mean, I don't even know what to say, man, about the football finally being back. I've been waiting so long, you know, I haven't had a chance to, you know, see no type of training camps, you know, no type of practicing, you know, with the guys. I mean, it's just been... man, ESPN has kind of sucked with all the baseball and soccer. So you know, I'm getting ready for this season, man. I'm happy. I'm getting my fantasy football teams, you know, situated and ready. I got to start working on my rosters in a couple of days here for these drafts, and I'm gonna be ready to go.
And do you feel like you guys got enough for the retired players like yourself and others?
Well, you know what, and that's one thing that, you know, they just ratified the deal completely yesterday.
Right.
So, you know, that's one thing that the information for that is still trickling down, you know, to guys like me and, you know, to our NFL player reps. And so right now I'm not 100% sure what we did get, I must say. And so that's one of the things that I'm actually going to have to look into. One of the big things for me was – you know, making sure that we got our the retired players, making sure we got our health insurance. And I think they did, if I'm not mistaken, they did, you know, negotiate that, but I can't say 100% if, you know, it actually went through.
And so you talked about some of the aches and pains of playing in the National Football League. How real is that?
Oh, it's that's 100% real, you know, that they put your body through a lot. You know, I have a lot of respect for those guys playing in the NFL, the guys that, you know, are really out there making it and really out there on the, you know, on the field and really making a difference, you know, with those teams, because you go through a lot and they put you through a lot, especially training camp. You know, that's training camp in the NFL. That's one of the hardest things I've ever done. And so, you know, it says a lot, you know, a lot of those guys are, I mean, man, I've seen them guys just really don't care about their body and just throw their body around and really, really, really just, you know, they're really out there just, you know, I mean, just having a good time playing hard. And, you know, guys like that, you know, they have significant injuries. I mean, I get injured. I got injured, you know, and it's really because of the high intensity that you play. And so,
right.
You know, it's going to happen.
And, Frank, I want to go back to the show now. And I watched the first episode, and you were talking to Takara, and for whatever reason, man, she couldn't get your name right. How did that make you feel?
well, you know, it was a lot of guys in there, and it was a lot going on right then at that time. And so, you know, I gave her a pass. But, you know, we were in there. It was 14 gentlemen. She walked in, and it was like a pack of wolves on one little piece of meat. And so, you know, everybody, man, we kind of went to a frenzy, and then I finally had to pull her away, drag her away from the rest of the guys, and, you know, get my little alone time. So, you know, it worked out for me, though.
You pulled her away, you dragged her away, and then you asked her about her age.
I
didn't think it was a big deal personally because she is young, but
yeah,
I guess it is a faux pas. But obviously, you didn't know that you were committing that faux pas.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that serious. It's kind of like, well, you know, what you said. It's not, you know, it's not the same. I'm thinking, hey, she asked me, you know, it must not be a big deal, you know. And it just slipped out. And, you know, by the time it got out, she was already, you know, had made her mind up. She was going to give me a hard time about it. So, yeah, I kind of lost out on that one.
But I got to give you credit here, man. I mean, I saw you get your dance on and whatnot, and it seemed like you got some moves. Was that from all those tiptoeing the sidelines?
Oh yeah, you know, I play receiver, so you know we're known to be the flashy guys, you know, the guys that that you know do the most, and so you know I'm from California, you know, Linwood, East Side, man. You got to be able to, you know, you got to be able to do a lot of things on that side of town. So, you know, I learned a lot. I got an older brother that, you know, kept me together.
And he kept you together, Frankie. You're doing some great things. And one of the things that you're doing is acting. You appeared on Spike TV's 1,000 Ways to Die. Tell us about that.
Oh, man, That was a crazy show. That was a crazy show. It was just something. Actually, going into it, I wasn't sure, you know, what it was gonna be, and it ended up being a good thing for me, man. But you know, just got cast for that. Also, sending my pictures in and things like that is out here in, you know, California, out here in Hollywood, just you know, trying to do what I can. And you know, it was a really good experience. They you know, wanted me to come in. I don't know if you noticed, but I have my Colorado State jersey on, and you know, the old 25, and we went from there, man, and just, you know, had a good time, sat down, asked some questions, and you know, got some things done. So I was happy about that.
And where do you see your acting career going from here?
Well, I mean, now hopefully I'm looking for you know, management and everything now, but man, I'm hoping, you know, I get a lot more, you know, roles. I'm trying to do a little modeling, you know, some print work, you know, whatever it is that I can, you know, get done. I mean, sky's the limit. I'm not, you know, I'm not turning anything down. I wouldn't necessarily want to do any more reality TV, but, you know, I definitely want to, you know, start moving my career on and start doing other things, you know, and hopefully to, you know, turn to some real acting gigs and feature films or television roles, whatever that, you know, whatever it brings. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to ride the wave right now.
And I saw in your bio that you own a Popeyes. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, man, my family's been in the business for, over 20 years now. We started off, I say when I was in about fifth or sixth grade, my dad ended up, he bought one Popeyes and Watts, and the whole family worked it. I think everybody down from my grandmother to my little sister, everybody worked it, and we grew the business. And, you know, once I got in the league, you know, we made a couple of moves, and now we have 5 stores. We have 2 in Long Beach, 2 in Los Angeles, and 1 in, not Corona, but Oxnard. And so, you know, now my day-to-day functions is to, you know, go around and make sure that all the business is being taken care of at the stores, and, you know, the food is, you know, the right quality, and, you know, nothing is going on at the store that, you know, will prevent us from, you know, serving our customers the way we should.
And, Frank, on this show, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I give you 2 topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Better receiver, Jerry Rice or Frank Rice?
That's not good. You got to give me something good. Now, we compared apples and oranges with that one. I don't even think I could be in the same sentence with Jerry Rice. But, you know, I appreciate having the, you know, the same last name. You know, a lot of people ask me, is that my cousin? Every now and again, I say, yeah, I may get into somewhere. But, yeah, no, definitely Jerry Rice. He was, you know, a great inspiration for me. I read his books, you know, in the locker rooms, and, you know, when I was in Tampa and things like that, just being away, I read a couple of books that really, you know, kept me motivated. Him and Michael Jordan, you know, really showed me how determination and, you know, kind of willing yourself to win and really get you over the hump.
Next question, better looking, Omarosa from the first Ultimate Merger or Takara?
Takara, hands down. Takara.
It's really not an argument. You're not going to get an argument here.
Well, I mean, all due respect to Omarosa, Takara is a model, you know, and
right.
going into the challenge, you know, you think, yeah, she looks good, you know, she's a model. It may just be TV, but Takara's fine, you know. Real life, if you walk past Takara, you'd be like, wow. And you know, as a African American guy, you know, her plus size, her, you know, she's thick, and that's it. You know, and she looks good, and she, you know, she doesn't have a problem with her, you know, plus size weight. She actually likes it, but you know, Takara's fine, and I, you know, Omarosa may be able to beat her at a business. She might be able to put together a business venture better than her. But as far as looks is concerned, I think Takara got that one hands down.
Better looking, the plus size Takara that we saw on America's Top Model, or this slimmed down version of Takara that we see now?
I like the slimmed down version of Takara that we see now. Just really, for me, I think feature wise, it really complements her features. Just everything that she is complimented. You know, while she's a little bit, you know, just a little bit more slimmed down than she was before. And so, you know, I'll take this one.
I got to argue with you here. I'm a fan of the plus size Takara. I mean, I thought the plus size Takara just, I just liked it a lot better. I don't know. I mean, she slimmed down and her body looks great now, but I thought it looked better with a little bit more meat on that bone.
Right.
I mean, it's just my opinion.
See, she still got the meat on the bone. Trust me. But, you know, I think this other Takara, you know, man, you'll be able to see, you know, once the show gets going, man, she looks good in anything she wears, from a bikini, bathing suit, you know, to, man, a tank top, you know. I mean, whatever she wears, Takara's on point.
Better chicken, KFC or Popeye's?
Popeye's chicken, hands down, marinated 12 hours, New Orleans style, not Kentucky style, but New Orleans style. Okay, you can't get no better chicken out there than Popeye's right now. Fast food, no way, no way at all. You're going to buy a better piece of chicken than Popeye's. You know, it's taken care of, you know, from when it's born. You know, those chickens are taken care of, and you know they're not ready to go until they reach a certain height, a certain weight. I mean, it's you know, Popeyes puts a lot into quality, and that's why you know our food tastes so good, our sides taste so good, everything that they do, you know, is based on home cooking and things like that. And so, hands down, we're beating KFC out the box. I tell my customers all the time, KFC is a cuss word in my organization.
Better for Takara, the 10 other guys left or Frank Rice?
Frank Rice. The 10 other guys left are bums. Nah, man. There's some good guys in there, but, you know, I don't see nobody with the same type of, you know, skill that I bring to the table. The same, you know, type of quality of life, you know, I can possibly bring to the table. I mean, you know, me and Takara is, you know, we just can kind of, man, she don't have to do nothing. You know, she needs to just come stay with me and you know, we can work things out on the other end. As far as her working or doing whatever she does, we can do that. Whereas the other guys, I don't think, you know, any of them can do that. And then not to mention, you know, you guys see, you know, me and her connection physically also is there, mentally is there. You know, I mean, as far as me and her is concerned, all she got to do is pick me and, you know, we can go and come back to California and, you know, make it happen.
And we'll see what happens as this season progresses. Frank Rice, one of the contestants, Donald Trump's The Ultimate Merger, airs on TV1, 9 o'clock, Thursdays. Make sure you check it out. And, Frank, where can we find information about you, your Facebook, your Twitter?
Yeah, my Facebook, You can go on Facebook if you just want to find me. I'm at IamFreshFrank.com, and you can pick up my Twitter at IamFreshFrank@twitter.com. And, you know, everything, right. I'm doing everything fresh, man. And so, you know, my name on the show, you guys will see once it gets going. You know, they call me Fresh, and so everything is I Am Fresh Frank. And so follow me on Twitter. I got Twitter, and you can also, like I said, go on Facebook and catch me on Facebook. Google Plus, when Google Plus get ready, I have an account on there also. I'll be putting that on the TV One website. But go on the TV One website, actually, and, you know, click on my profile. All the links are on the profile on TV One. You can comment and, you know, just give me some love. I'm trying to, you know, get out there, get my exposure going, and, you know, hopefully I get enough people to, you know, say it like me and I can get a role on something else.
And hopefully you make that ultimate merger with the lovely, the beautiful, the talented Takara.
Yes, yes, yes.
Frank, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. We wish you nothing but the best of luck going forward, man, and I hope you make that ultimate merger.
Thanks, man. I appreciate, you know, you for allowing me to come on your show, man, and, you know, talk to you this morning. You know, anytime, man, I appreciate it. I'm available. You know, we can also, you know, talk sports and, you know, a little more in depth. I'm pretty keen on all of that, all the things that's going on in the sports world right now. And so, you know, anytime, I'm, you know, I'm here, I'm out here in California, man, just, you know, trying to just stay positive, you know, keep God first and, you know, not getting in no trouble and, you know, just continue to, you know, do positive things and, you know, try to further my career. So, you know, anytime you need me, man, just give me a shout, hit me on the email and we can talk. Like I said, I'm a fantasy champ, so. Once this football season rolls around, I got all the fantasy tips to make sure you get your team right.
We definitely going to talk some fantasy football, Frank, and we'll be in touch, definitely. We're going to talk some more football real quickly, Frank. How do you see this NFL season going? I mean, you got the Eagles signed all these guys. They're looking like the dream team that everybody's saying. Do you believe that? You believe the dream team hype in Philadelphia?
Well, they say the dream team hype. I was more concerned. I think the biggest move right now, and it kind of went under the radar, was the Ocho Cinco Albert Haynesworth trade that I have no idea how he pulled that off and got them guys down in Patriot uniforms. And, you know, that right there I think is going to be the biggest, you know, thing right now in the NFL. I mean, now you got Tom Brady has another weapon to go to in Chad Ochocinco, and the defense has a stud. If he really gets going, they have a stud right in the middle of their defense. And then, you know, they're already good. They already made it almost to the Super Bowl last year. So, you know, I really don't see nobody doing what the Patriots are going to be able to do this year. There's a few teams that's going to be, you know, just because they have veterans on their team, they're going to be on the upside of the, you know, of the league. I think at the beginning of the football season, I think there's going to be a few teams that's just going to, you know, outplay everybody because they're veteran teams. Because this shortened preparation season is really going to affect the quality of play that's out there right now, really going to affect that. I mean, go ahead,
finish your point, I'm sorry.
No, well, I was just going to say, you know, we're used to really starting practice back in March and really starting preparing for football season in March. And, you know, in football, you know, you're going to have guys, you know, on the team that really don't want to put 100% in when the coaches are there. And so, you know, those same guys you're telling me was, you know, looking at their playbooks and trying to get in shape during the off season. No, they was taking advantage of, you know, not having to go to the facilities, and they were at home sitting around. And so, you know, now you got, you know, probably half of your team coming in behind where they would be, and then your whole team coming behind where they would be. And so it's, you know, it's a lot of catching up going to do, and I don't see it panning itself out until the, you know, halftime of the NFL season, which is going to be too late for your team.
And, Frank, real quickly, you're a wide receiver. Randy Moss just retired this week. My mind on numbers alone, a first ballot Hall of Famer. It won't happen, I don't think, because of some of the off-the-field stuff. But how would you view the career of Randy Moss, and how great was Randy Moss?
Randy Moss was a great wide receiver. I mean, anytime when you're so good, you coin a phrase and without even saying it. But, you know, people to this day say if someone catches a ball over someone's head that you got mossed. And that's strictly from Randy Moss and what he did, you know, his first couple of years in the league, you know, just really just dominating every cornerback that even got close to him. And so, you know, I think he had a very respectable career, you know, a great career. He should be a first round Hall of Famer for, you know, just for the things that he's done on the football field. I mean, off the field, I think we've all had some type of issues, but, you know, for the quality of play that he put on that football field, he should definitely be a first rounder. You know, I think it's a shame, but, I mean, I'm looking at a couple of teams, and I'm saying, why wouldn't you go after a Randy Moss on your team? Why wouldn't the Jets want a Randy Moss on their team after losing Braylon Edwards? You know, it's a couple of teams that it's like, why wouldn't you pick up a Randy Moss type of caliber player, and you know what he's going to give you out there on that football field? You know, if he focuses down and buckles in, the type of player, the type of impact that he can have on the whole game. And, you know, teams didn't do that. It, you know, baffles me sometimes. I think he was kind of forced into retirement.
Some people thought there's some people out there that believe he's done. That we saw the best of Randy Moss, and there's nothing left.
Yeah, well, you know, they always I hate when they say that about, you know, guys get 30 and 32 and they say they're done. But, you know, it takes a young receiver probably 2 years, would have put him at, 27, 28 before he's even ready to be out there playing, you know, like some of these vets, you know, can come in and play on your team right now. And so, you know, what would you want, a 27-year-old guy that's not ready, or a 33-year-old vet that's one step slower, but, you know, it's going to put up 1,000 yards, going to give you at least, you know, 8 touchdowns, and, you know, you're not going to have all the mental mistakes out there from it. And so, you know, it's kind of a, you know, what can you do? What do you want to do?
Right. And Frank, we'll leave it there, sir. It was a pleasure talking to you, man. And, again, nothing but the best of luck, man, and look forward to being in touch with you down the line.
Thank you much. Thank you much. Make sure y'all follow
Take care.
Me, man, at I Am Fresh Frank on Twitter. And you have a good one. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Frank Rice. One of the contestants on Donald Trump's The Ultimate Merger, vying for the love of the lovely, the beautiful, the talented Takara. And whoever gets that from an aesthetic point of view, whoever gets Takara, I mean, they're doing pretty well. I mean, a very beautiful young lady. I like the plus-size Takara a little better than the slimmed-down version. But, I mean, she's still a beautiful young lady nonetheless, and we'll see what happens going forward as we watch this show, and then we'll see who gets her. Will it be Frank? Will it be all the other guys that are out there, the 10 other guys that are left? And we'll see how it all pans out. I mean, if you remember the show last year, no one got it. No one got Omarosa. No one won, if you remember last year. No one won. And so we'll see what happens going forward with this whole situation with Takara and everything on The Ultimate Merger 2, which airs on TV1 each and every Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And I want to switch gears now, and I want to look at the situation with Braylon Edwards. He had some issues. Apparently he was tweeting about fighting. And I guess it was outside of some kind of party or some kind of club situation with Braylon. And this is a guy who's kind of no stranger to that type of thing. I mean, you saw the situation when he was with the Jets where earlier in the season last year where he was charged with a DWI. He later pleaded guilty to it, that charge. And you look at that situation, man, and ultimately I think it costs him money, and it's costing him money. I mean, he could have and he should have gotten a lot more money than he did. He should have gotten a lot more money than he did. But, you know, you can't, when you're in the process of free agency and you're out there, you can't be doing knucklehead stuff. You can't be a knucklehead when you're trying to get things right and trying to make money. You can't be a knucklehead. You're trying to eat and make money, and you're doing knucklehead kind of stupid type stuff. Braylon Edwards is a talented receiver. Braylon Edwards had a pretty good season with the New York Jets. But Braylon Edwards, for whatever reason, a few years back in Cleveland where he had a fight with one of LeBron's friends or outside of a club, Braylon Edwards just does not know how to party. He doesn't know how to party the right way. There's a way you party. There is a way you party. You don't party where you're fighting and just doing stupid stuff. You know, you got to find a way to party, man. And if you don't know how to party, you need to stay in and watch movies, watch SportsCenter, watch something other than going out and getting yourself in trouble at these parties. Come on. Braylon, come on. That's just stupid, man. That's just dumb, asinine, and stupid, Braylon. And I know we didn't say that it was you stupid time, but you know what, Braylon Edwards, for what you're doing, what you have done, and the money you have cost yourself, you're stupid, man. You're stupid because you don't know how to party. You got to learn how to party, man. If you need some tips on learning how to party, you can come to me, but I think in your situation, you might be better served to stay at home and watch TV, watch SportsCenter, and football and things of that nature, because you seem to get yourself in trouble. And interesting story coming out of Titans camp, Cortland Finnegan, who was on this show earlier in the summer, and apparently he has left Titans camp, and this is because of an apparent contract dispute. And as it's looking, I mean, he apparently tried to maintain off-season training routines, and he organized the Titans off-season workouts in March, and, you know, that was during the lockout. And apparently, for whatever reason, he's not happy with his contract. And because of that, he walked out. He walked out. He's not happy. He wants more money. Cortland wants more money, and Cortland Finnegan is one of the better corners in this league. I know a lot of people get caught up in some of his play. Some may call him dirty and things of that nature, but say what you will about Cortland Finnegan, he's a pretty good corner in this league. He's a pretty darn good corner in this league. Say what you want to say about the guy, but he's a pretty good darn corner in this league. Yes, he is a good corner. But you look at it, he wants more money. He feels he deserves more money, and now he's walking out of camp because of it, apparently. But we'll see how that thing shakes out with Cortland Finnegan. And today, the Hall of Fame welcomes in some new guys in the Hall of Fame this weekend. They're always a beautiful thing when guys, you know, get the recognition that they deserve. Deion Sanders is going in, the great Deion Sanders. Richard Dent is going in. Chris Hamburger, the linebacker for the Washington Redskins, old school guy, he's going in. Marshall Faulk is going in. Now you got a lot of different guys going in, and it's going to be, you know, there's always a good time there. It should be interesting to see what kind of speeches we hear from these Hall of Famers this time around. We want to thank Frank Rice from the Ultimate Merger 2 for stopping by. And again, make sure you check Frank out on Twitter. I am Fresh Frank. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him. Go to his Facebook page. Friend him there. Fresh at Frank Rice. Just his name on Facebook. So make sure you do that. Make sure you check him out. Frank Rice. He wants Takara, and we'll see if he gets her. We'll see. And if he does, he's a lucky man. Not luckier than me, but he's a lucky man nonetheless if he does get the lovely Takara. We want to make sure that you follow the show, this show on Twitter, at GoForAgain. And also, make sure you listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, where you can hear this great show and other great shows. For everybody here at GoFor It, We will be back at our regular time next Saturday at 1 p.m. This is a shortened version of the show today, but we will be back next Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and we will also be back on Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So make sure you take care, make sure you listen, and hopefully you have a great day. See you later. Take care.